This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
How much can you take before your emotions get the best of you and you are upset? How stable is your life? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that it is your desire that as we are believers in you by grace through faith in Christ, our lives should be built upon the rock, upon the teachings of your holy word, so that when the storms come, and they do come, while we're on this earth, that we may be able to stand and be victorious in you, our Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will sustain us with your word and speak to us this day through it, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansion
Friends in Christ, how stable is your life? How much can you take before you become emotionally upset? What brings stability to your life? These are some pretty important questions, because to be an unstable person is not so good. If we're unstable, it's hard for people to work with us, to play with us, to love us. So what brings stability to your life? Is it your health? You can say, I'm a healthy person, just had a physical and everything is fine. Can you say it's my family? I know that they are always with me regardless of what happens. Can you say it's friends who would never leave you and they are more precious than all the silver and gold a man can possess? Is it your education? You have a college degree or two or three, and no one can take that away from you? Is it your Christian faith? That's great. But we have to ask ourselves that question, I believe, if we want to face life realistically. What brings stability to your life? And Jesus is talking about this today in the Sermon on the Mount. For he certainly wants those who are his followers, those who trust him as Savior and Lord, to be stable individuals. The Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And for you who are acquainted with it, let me delve into this just a little bit. Now, some of the biblical scholars have had different interpretations as to how we are to treat this Sermon on the Mount. There are some of those who say, and I happen to be one of them, though I'm not a great biblical scholar, that this outlines to us clearly a few of the many things that God wants to see in the life of those who trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. There are others who say, well, it's impossible for us to come anywhere near doing what he places before us in the Sermon on the Mount, and therefore we have to treat it sort of like the law. When you read those verses, you come under a deep conviction of sin. And I can understand that too, because who of us can really do what Jesus tells us to do in this sermon? And yet, isn't it more than just this? Isn't it also showing that now that we have been redeemed in Jesus Christ, this is the way that our Savior really wants us to live? And then there are some who say, well, the Sermon on the Mount was written to show how we will live one day when we get in glory. Some of the premillennialists who look forward to the rapture will say this is how people will be living during that period of time. I choose to say that this is God's revelation to us of how He wants those of us who have been redeemed by Him to attempt at least to live. So let's take a look at it. I've read the passage to you. It's found in the 24th to the 29th verses of the 7th chapter of Genesis. Now, our Lord Jesus takes for granted now, I believe, that He is talking to people who trust Him as Savior and Lord. He is not talking about that we can earn our way into the kingdom of heaven. Let us make that very, very clear. But Jesus is trying to say to us, and the Holy Spirit is seeking to interpret it for us, that Jesus wants us to know that if we trust Him, here are some of the characteristics that are found in our lives as we go on to maturity, and thus to stability in life. Now, Jesus was a carpenter at Nazareth for the first years of His life. This is recorded in Matthew 13, verse 55. And here He is revealing a bit of His background about the importance of a good foundation when you're building a house. He lived in a land where we are told there were a lot of gullies, dried up gullies during the summertime when the sun was hot and it was desert land. But in the winter, the rains fell and those gullies filled with torrents of rushing water, and the buildings often that were on these parcels of land would crumble with the storm. And the people would wonder why, and Jesus was saying that the wise builder is the one who, when he constructs his house, will dig down deeply into the ground until he finds rock. And there he will build his foundation. And when that is done, no matter how severe the storm might be, the house will stand. Now, he applies this to a person's life. If the storms of life come to us, how will we take them? For it is the storms of life that reveal on what kind of foundation our lives are really built. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reveals some of these Christian behavior characteristics. Now, remember this. He is saying, you have been born again. He talks with Nicodemus about that. In other words, you have to become a new person in Jesus Christ. Christ must have entered into your heart. Christ must have changed your life. Christ must have given you new desires. And then, here is why He wants you to listen carefully, because this is a part of the mature Christian's life. When you get done with this, you'll see the truth of a statement by Myron Augsburg, who is a Mennonite theologian. He writes, Jesus is not only asking for a confession of our faith, that is, where we lip and repeat what we believe, but He is looking for a conduct of faith. He is not only anxious to have us come to the church on Sunday and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. But He wants us to go to work on Monday and let our confession be the conduct of a life that is pleasing to Him. Jesus is not again, I'm being repetitious here, saying that we are saved by good works. But good works come from the person who trusts Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, here are a few of these characteristics of a life that is built on the rock. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt, as I understand it, is a preservative. It wants to keep that which is good. That's the way the Christian is. And he is known that way in his community. He has been redeemed by Christ, and that which is giving glory and praise to his Lord is something that he wants to preserve. In our town some 80 years ago, the Chamber of Commerce, or its antecedent body, decided that they wanted to have a Bible conference in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And they were going to ask G. Campbell Morgan, one of the great Bible expositors, to come to our city and preach for a solid week on portions of God's holy word. The Bible conference was established, and hundreds of people came from all over the Midwest to listen to this great preacher. But as the years went by, and as our lives seemed to get more busy, and there were more things that men and women could do than go to Bible conference, the attendance got smaller and smaller and smaller. Until finally, when I first became acquainted with it, it was just about ready to go under. And there were many people, good, strong, supposedly church people, Christians, who said, well, we might as well say it was a blessing while it was lasting, but its day is over. However, there were in our community at that time those who saw the value of that Bible conference. To think that we could get some outstanding preacher or preachers here who would give us a lift as they expounded the Word of God. And so they kept on and on. The Bible conference is celebrating its 80th anniversary. And I was so thrilled to sit in its pews during this past summer and listen again to outstanding proclaimers of the Word of God as it enjoyed one of its largest attendances in its history. You see, you are the salt of the earth. You preserve that which is good. There's enough bad in every community, but preserve, hold on to that which is good. Now that's how I want you to live, our Lord Jesus said. Here's another one. Do you think that I have come to abolish the law? And this is what he says in the Sermon on the Mount. No, I haven't. I have come to fulfill it. I have come with the gospel, but I want you to know the law is very important. Well, what is one of those laws? One of those laws is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And now it's Sunday morning, and the question is, what about church? And you say, as the father or the mother in that household, well, you know what we're doing on Sunday, like we do on Monday. Monday you go to work or school. Sunday we go to church. God has told us to do that in his word, but more than that, we need to go to church. We need to hear that word. We need to be drawn closer to him. We need to be spiritually fed. We go to church to be fed. Don't let anybody kid you out of that. That's what you go to church for. And you go to church to fellowship with those who are of the same faith with you. Throughout the week, you live with many who are unbelievers. But on Sunday morning, you need to go to church. What else is it that he says? Well, be concerned about the needy and help them. And then when you give to the needy, don't let your left know what your right hand is doing. There are a lot of needy people. Do we really spend much time thinking about the poor? Do Do we think about those who go to bed hungry every night? Here a while ago, I had to have a physical examination, as it comes around for all of us once a year. And this one required that I abstain from eating for a day. And I thought, a day without food, can I last? But I did. And it was good for me, because I thought, oh my, think of the millions of people tonight who go to bed without food, not one day, but 1 week and so forth, and die. And they tell me that we have enough grain in the Midwest here to feed the whole world. And we don't do anything about it. And Jesus says that's wrong. You feed the hungry. So you're a part of Food for the World, or an organization like that, if you're living with God's will, what he wants you to do. He wants you and me to be people of prayer, and he wants us to be able to lead in prayer and to pray with others and all the other things that are necessary in public. Very, very important. But he also wants us to go into our bedrooms and close the door and on bended knee pour out our hearts to God for ourselves and for others, for our nation, for the church. That is a part of the Christian life. He tells us, let's not be a hypocrite. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, what he is saying is, we better be the same on Monday at work as on Sunday at worship. Well, we could go on with this. But here our Lord is telling us how we should live, that it's a fruit of our faith. What do we do with this type of preaching? Often we think of Jesus as the one who has presented himself as the good shepherd. Oh, how one loves to preach on those gracious texts. And to look into the audience and say, perhaps there's somebody there who is the lost sheep. And you're there to tell them that Christ has come for them. That's a good sermon. There's a waiting father who you meet in a prodigal son, and if somebody has drifted away, you're telling them that God isn't mad at you. God wants you back home again. There's a message of the cross every Sunday, that Jesus has taken our sins upon him and died for them, and our sins are forgiven if we trust him. But here he is, a Lord who preaches to his people and says to them, this is how you are to live. This is building your life on the rock, and it will stand against the storms of life. I'm asking you, if you want stability, to have purity of heart, a spirit that is filled with peacemaking, and a willingness to accept persecution for that which you know, according to God's word, is wrong. Isn't Myron Augsburger right? That our Lord Jesus wants the whole counsel of God preached, our salvation by grace through faith in him, and then the sanctified and holy life that we who are the redeemed will live with him as his children and walk on this earth that way. How we need to sing from our hearts that old gospel song, for they go together. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust him as your Lord. Live with him as your Savior. Amen.
When we walk with the Lord,
we abide.
Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding us again that we who are the redeemed, who trust you as Savior and Lord, are also admonished as to how we should live. Grant that we may live with this Sermon on the Mount and store up his teachings in our hearts, that there they may be recalled when sometimes we drift so far away from you. Bless us to that end, we ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Many of our listeners are not aware that Christian Crusaders must purchase its own radio airtime in order to broadcast biblical truth each and every week. Please consider, if you are in a position to do so, sending a financial gift. In this way, you become a partner in carrying out our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. God's blessings to each of you. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. A gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.